We present Bernard Hepton as Death and Jenny Quayle as Margaret in Dear Brutus by J.M. Barrie. Adapted for radio by Jeffrey Siegel.
We mustn't waste another moment. We're all agreed, aren't we?
Now is the time.
Yes, now, if at all. But
should we? Certainly, and at once, before the men come in.
You don't think we should wait for the men? They are quite as much in it as we are.
Lob would be with them. If the thing is to be done, it should be now.
Well, is it quite fair to Lob? After all, he is our host.
Of course it isn't fair to him, but let's do it, Cody.
Yes, let's do it. Mrs. Death is doing
it. Of course I am.
The men are not coming, are they?
No, your husband's having another glass of port.
I'm sure he is. One of you ring, please.
I will.
Oh, poor matey.
He richly deserves what he's about to get.
Oh, don't all stand huddled together like conspirators.
It's what we are.
Ah, matey. I wish this telegram sent.
Very good, ma'am. The village post office closed at 8, but if it's important...
It is. And you are so clever, Macy. I'm sure you can persuade them to oblige you.
I'll see to it myself, madam. You can depend on its going.
Thank you. Oh, better read it, Macy, to be sure that you can make it out.
Oh, very good, ma'am.
Read it aloud, Macy.
Oh, ma'am.
Aloud.
To police station, Great Comyn. Send officer first thing tomorrow morning to arrest... Matey butler for theft of rings.
Yes, that's quite right.
Shouldn't we say how many rings?
Oh, yes, put in the number of rings, matey. 3, isn't it, so far?
3.
Yes, ma'am. May I tear this up now, ma'am?
Certainly not.
I told you from the first that he was the culprit. I'm never mistaken in faces... And I see broad arrows all over yours, matey.
It's deeply regretted.
I'm sure it is.
Mm. Well, we may as well tell him that it isn't our rings we are worrying about. They're just a means to an end, matey.
Precisely. In other words, that telegram goes unless...
Unless?
Unless you can tell us instantly what peculiarity it is that all we ladies have in common.
Not only the ladies, the gentlemen as well. All Lob's guests in this house.
We've been here a week, and we find that when he invited us, he knew us all so little that we began to wonder why he asked us. And now, from word he's let drop, we know that we were invited because of something he thinks we have in common.
But he won't say what it is.
But we are sure you know. And if you don't tell us, quad.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have come, ladies. You didn't ought to have come.
What? You shouldn't have come? Now, my man, what do you mean by that?
Nothing, milady. I just mean, why did you come if you're the kind he thinks?
The kind he thinks?
What kind does he think? Now we're guessing at it.
Well, I haven't a notion, ma'am.
Then it isn't necessarily our virtue that makes Lob interested in us.
No, milady. No, milady.
And yet you know he's rather lovable.
Well, he is, ma'am. Yes. He's the most lovable old devil ever... I beg your pardon, milady.
Tell me this. Did he specially ask you all for Midsummer Week?
Yes.
He would.
What do you mean?
Well, he always likes them to be here on Midsummer's Eve, ma'am.
Them? Whom?
Them who have that in common.
What can it be?
I don't know.
I believe... This is Midsummer Eve.
Yes, miss, so it is. The villagers know it. They're all inside their houses tonight, with the doors barred.
Oh, because of... Oh, him?
He frightens them. There are, well, stories.
What alarms them?
It's...
Tell us, or this telegram goes.
Well, I know nothing for certain, ma'am. I've never done it myself. He's wanted me to, but I wouldn't.
Done what?
Oh, ma'am, don't ask me. Be merciful to me, ma'am. I'm not bad naturally. It was just going into service that did for me. The accident of being flung among bad companions. It's touch and go how the poor turn out in this world. All depends on your taking the right or the wrong turning.
I dare say that's true.
Yes, when I was young, ma'am, I was offered a clerkship in the city. If I'd taken it, there wouldn't be an honest man alive today. I'd give the world to be able to begin over again.
It's very sad, Mrs. Dirt.
Oh, I'm sorry for him, but still
What do you say, milady?
As you ask me, I should certainly say jail.
If you say no more about all this, I'll give you a tip that's worth it.
Ah, now you're talking.
Don't listen to him.
You're the one that's hardest on me.
Yes, I flatter myself I am.
You might take a wrong turning yourself, milady.
I? How dare you?
Well, let me tell you this. I wouldn't go out tonight if he asks you. Go into the garden if you like. The garden's all right. I wouldn't go further tonight.
But he never proposes to us to go further. Why should he tonight?
I don't know, ma'am. But don't any of you go. Except you, milady. I should like you to go.
Hello.
Shall I tell up the telegram? What do you say, Mrs. Purdy, Miss Trice?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
You should have sent that telegram off.
You are sure you've told us all you know, matey?
Yes, miss. Above all, ladies, I wouldn't go into the wood.
The wood? Why, there isn't a wood within a dozen miles of here.
No, ma'am, but all the same, I wouldn't go into it, ladies. Not if I was you.
The men are coming.
Come on, Lob. Tell them what you told us.
It's all nonsense, of course. Just foolish talk of the villagers. They say that on Midsummer Eve there is a strange wood in this part of the country.
Where?
Ah, that's one of its most charming features. It is never twice in the same place, apparently. It's been seen on different parts of the Downs and on Moor Common. Oh, a sporting wood.
Lob is anxious we should all go and look for it.
Oh, no. Lob's the only sceptic in the house. He says it's all rubbish and we'd be sillies if we go.
But we believe, eh, Purdy?
Rather.
Just wasting the evening. Let's have a round game at cards here instead.
No, sir. I'm going to find that wood.
What's the good of it when it's found?
We shall wander in it deliciously, listening to a new sort of bird called the philomel.
The philomel? Lob. Has this wonderful wood any special properties?
Oh, there is no wood.
You've never seen it?
Not I. Don't believe in it.
Have any of the villagers ever been in it?
So it said. So it said.
What did they say were their experiences?
That isn't known. They never came back.
Never came back?
Absurd, of course. You see, in the morning the wood was gone, so they were gone too.
You know, I don't think I like this wood.
It certainly is Midsummer Eve.
Well, of course, if you ladies are against it, we'll drop the idea. It was only a bit of fun.
Better give it up. To please Lob.
Oh, all right, Lob. What about that game of cards?
Oh, excellent.
I wanted to go. I wanted you to go. I'd set my heart on your going. It's the thing I wanted, and it isn't good for me not to get the thing I want.
Oh, good gracious. He's wanted it all the time. You wicked Lob.
Now, you see, there is something in it.
Nonsense, Mrs. Death. It's all a joke.
Don't cry, Lobby.
Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me, and I need to be loved.
We do. We all love you. Nice
Lob. I'm so fond of you.
Dry his eyes with my own handkerchief.
You didn't pamper him.
I need to be pampered.
Oh, you funny little man. Let us go at once and look for his wood.
Yes, let's.
Father, shoes, cloaks, and hats forward. Come on, Lady Caroline, just as though you're not afraid of me.
Yes. Yes. They're coming, Lobswood. They're coming.
No.
Oh, Joanna.
Oh, Jack. Oh, Jack, if Mabel suspected.
There's nothing for her to suspect.
I'm very fond of Mabel, Jack. I should like to be the best friend she has in the world.
You are, dearest. No woman ever had a better friend.
And yet I don't think she really likes me. I wonder why.
It's just that Mabel doesn't understand. Nothing would make me say a word against my wife.
I wouldn't listen to you if you did.
I love you all the more, dear, for saying that. But Mabel is a cold nature, and she doesn't understand.
She doesn't appreciate your finer qualities.
That's it. I often think, Joanna, that I'm rather like a flower that has never had the sun to shine on it, nor the rain to water it.
You almost break my heart.
I suppose there is no more lonely man than I, walking the earth today.
So mournful.
It's the thought of you that sustains me, elevates me. You have made me a better man, Joanna.
I'm so proud to think that.
You've made me kinder to Mabel.
I'm sure you're always kind to her.
Well, yes, I hope so, but I think now of special little ways of giving her pleasure. Do you remember that first time my arms... Your waist. You're so fluid, Joanna. I gave her a ruby bracelet for that.
It is a gem. You've given that lucky woman many lovely things. Jack, there's someone outside. Wait, Lord Mabel. Jack, if she saw, she'll think you were kissing her.
I am so sorry to interrupt you, Jack. But before you kiss her again, just let me draw the curtains. I don't want the others to see you. They mightn't understand how noble you are, Jack. You can go on now.
Oh. Mabel, what were you doing out there?
I was looking for something I have lost.
Anything important?
I used to fancy it, Jack. It is my husband's love.
You don't happen to have picked it up, Joanna? If you don't value it very much, I should like it back. The pieces, I mean.
Mabel, I will not be talked to in that way.
I must say, Mabel, that I am a little disappointed in you.
Poor old Jack. A woman like that...
Not a word against Joanna, Mabel. If you knew how nobly she has spoken of you.
She does know. She's been listening.
What if I have
Mabel, if you wish it, I shall always be true to you, in word and deed. It is your right. But I cannot pretend that Joanna is not the one woman in the world for me. If I had met her before you, it's fate, I suppose.
Too late. Too late.
I suppose you never knew what true love was till you met her, Jack.
You forced me to say it. Joanna and I are as one person. We are one rather than two.
Yes, and that's the one. I am so sorry to have marred your life.
Well, if any blame there is, it is all mine. She is as spotless as the driven snow. The minute I mentioned love to her, she told me to desist.
Not she.
So you were listening. Mabel, don't you see how splendid he is?
Not quite, Joanna. Not quite.
How fine of you, Jack, to take it all upon yourself.
It's the man's privilege.
I don't think I care to go out now. She's spoiled it all. She's taken the innocence out of it, Jack.
To be doomed forever just because I once took the wrong turning. It isn't fair.
The wrong turning? Now, who was saying that a moment ago about himself? Why, it was Matey.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Dare.
Yes, it is, but thank you for telling me, Mr. Purdy. It's my husband I'm in search of.
We left him in the dining room. Shall I route him out for you?
How too unutterably kind of you, Mr. Purdy. I hate to trouble you, but it would be the sort of service one never forgets.
You know, I believe you're chaffing.
No, I am incapable of that.
I won't be a moment.
Miss Trout and I will await your return with ill-concealed impatience.
Ah.
Yes, I suppose you're right. I dare say I am.
I didn't say anything.
I thought I heard you say that hateful Dearth woman coming butting in where she's not wanted.
You certainly have good ears.
Yes, they have always been admired.
By the painters for whom you sat when you were an artist's model.
So that has leaked out, has it?
I shouldn't have said that.
Do you think I care whether you know or not?
I'm sure you don't. Still, it was cattish of me.
It was.
I don't see it.
I'm uncommon flattered that you should want me, Alice. It quite takes me aback.
It isn't your company I want, Will.
You know, I felt that Purdy must have delivered your message wrongly.
It has something to do with Lobb. I want you to come with us on this mysterious walk and keep an eye on him.
On poor little Lob? Oh, surely not.
I can't make the man out. I want you to tell me something. When he invited us here, do you think it was you or me he especially wanted?
Oh, you. He made no bones about it. Said there was something about you that made him want uncommonly to have you down here. I presumed it must be your fascination.
Nonsense. Well, I want you to come out with us tonight and watch him.
Spy on my host, and such a harmless little chap, too. Excuse me, Alice. Besides, I have an engagement.
An engagement? With the port decanter, I presume?
A good guess, but wrong. The decanter is now but an empty shell. Still, how you know me. My engagement is with a quiet cigar in the garden.
Your hand is so unsteady, you won't be able to light the match.
I shall just manage.
A nice hand for an artist.
One would scarcely call me an artist nowadays.
Not so far as any work is concerned.
Not so far as having any more pretty dreams to paint is concerned. Wonder why I've become such a waster, Alice.
I suppose it was always in you.
I suppose so. When did you begin to despise me, Alice?
When I really got to know you, Will, a long time ago.
Yes, I think that's true. It was a long time ago, before I had begun to despise myself. It wasn't till I knew you had no opinion of me that I began to go downhill. You'll grant that, won't you? And that I did try for a bit to fight on. If you had cared for me, I wouldn't have come to this, surely.
Well, I found I didn't care for you, and I wasn't hypocrite enough to pretend that I did. That's blunt. But you used to admire my bluntness.
Oh, yes. Yes, there was never any shades in you. You could only love or hate. Kiss or kill was your motto, Alice. I felt from the first moment I saw you that you would either love me or knife me.
I didn't knife you.
Perhaps if we had had children.
A blessing, I should think, seeing what sort of a father they would have had.
I dare say you're right. Well, Alice, I know that somehow it's my fault. I'm sorry for you.
I'm sorry for myself. If I hadn't married you, what a different woman I should be. You are how fool than I was.
I hope it's not the Honourable Freddy Finch Fellow you would put in my place. I know he's following you about again.
He followed me about, as you put it, before I knew you. I don't know why I quarrelled with him.
Your heart told you that he was no good.
My heart told me that you were, so it wasn't of much service to me, my heart.
Freddy Finch Fellow is a rotter, Alice.
You are certainly an authority on the subject.
You have me there. Poor old Alice. After which brief but pleasant little connubial chat, he pursued his dishonoured way into the garden.
Come on!
Are you not coming, Mr. Death?
Alas, unavoidably detained. Oh. You'll find me in the garden when you come back.
If we ever do come back.
Precisely. Should we never meet again, Alice, fare thee well. Purdy, if you find the tree of knowledge in the wood, bring me back an apple.
I promise.
Don't speak so loud. Matey might hear you.
Matey? That man again. What difference would that make, Law?
He'd take me off to bed. It's past my time.
Time for the garden. Good.
Oh. Hello, Death.
What is it we get in that wood, Log?
Ah, he won't tell us that.
Come on.
Tell us first.
They say that in the wood you get what nearly everybody here is longing for. A second chance.
Oh, so that's what we have in common.
You know, I've often thought, Katie, that if I had a second chance, I could be a useful man instead of just a lazy one.
Second chance.
Come on.
Stop. Why not go this way?
It's the garden. What's happened to me? Trees right up to the window.
Call Matey.
It's your wood, Lob. It's come to us.
Anyone ready to risk it?
Of course, there's nothing in it. It's just...
Yes, of course. Going out, Purdy.
Second chance.
I'll be back in a moment. Probably.
he doesn't come back.
It's horrible. I'm going to my room. Come and go, dear.
Yes, yes, dear, yes.
Mabel, wait, don't go.
You'll have to go now, Mr. Purdy.
Yes. Yes, I...
I'll go with you, Jack.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
That's enough. Don't you go, Mrs. Death. Stay with me. You'll catch it if you go.
A second chance. A second chance.
Lady Caroline.
One would like to know, somehow.
Cody! Cody!
Yes, dear? A useful man instead of a lazy one.
It's past your bedtime, sir. I brought the coffee for the ladies so you can say goodnight to them and... Oh, where are they all?
Mickey, look!
What? Great heavens! It's true, then?
Yes. Only I wasn't sure where.
Well, I wouldn't have believed it.
No. You'll believe it now. Out you go, then.
Isn't it a lovely night, Jim? Listen to Philomel. Seeing it is lately married, just like us. I feel, Jim, that I am Rosalind and that you are my Orlando.
What do you say I am, Caroline?
My own one. Don't you think it would be fun if we were to write poems about each other and pin them on the tweed twunks?
Poems. I never knew such a lass for high-flown language.
Your lass, dearest. Jim's lass.
Yeah, and don't you forget it.
And what would you do if I were to forget it, great bear?
Take a stick to you.
I love to hear you talk like that. It's so virile. I always knew it was a master I needed.
It's what you all need. And if he's worth a bob or two, so much the better.
How I should have loved, Jim, to know you when you were poor. Fancy your having once been a clerk.
We all have our beginning. But it wouldn't have mattered how I began, Caroline. I would have come to the top just the same.
I'm sure you would, Jim.
Very good, Caroline. Very good. Yeah, it's late. We'd best be strolling back to our roles.
I do hope the ground wasn't damp.
Don't matter if it was. I was lying on your rug. Hello. Who's the mournful party?
I wonder, sir, whether you happen to have seen my husband. I've lost him in the wood.
Is that him?
Oh, no. My husband is quite young.
Well, seems a merry old cock, this one. Hi, sir. Evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
Do you happen to have seen a young gentleman in the wood lately, all by himself and looking for his wife?
No, I can't say I have.
He isn't necessarily by himself. And I don't know that he's looking for me. There may be a young lady with him.
Would he be singing or dancing?
Oh, no. At least I hope not.
Hope not. Odd. Then I'm not likely to notice him. But if I do, what name shall I say?
Purdy. I am Mrs. Purdy.
I try to keep a lookout, and if I see him... but I am rather occupied at present.
Oh, I see him now. I'm sorry I troubled you.
That's quite all right.
Well, is he alone? Ah, I see he isn't.
Caroline, no awkward questions. Well, evening, missus, and I hope you'll get him to go along with you quietly. Look at the old codger dancing.
Oh, just look at the two of them.
It's all right. There's no sign of her. Oh, Mabel.
No, and no, and no. I don't know you nearly well enough for that. Besides, what would your wife say? I shall begin to think you are a very dreadful man, Mr. Purdy.
Surely you might call me Jack by this time.
Only if you are very good, Jack.
If only Joanna were more like you.
Like me? Oh, you mean her face. Well, it's a... Well, if it's not precisely pretty, it's a good face. I don't mind her face at all. I'm glad you've got such a dependable little wife, Jack.
Oh, Mabel.
Oh, no, you stand over there and behave. What would Joanna have said if she'd seen you?
I don't know, Mabel, whether you've noticed, that I am not like other men.
Yes.
All my life I've been a soul that has had to walk alone.
How tragic.
I do so still. Then I met Joanna. Foolishly as I now see, I thought she would understand that I was far too deep a nature really to mean the little things I sometimes said to her.
And so you married her.
And so I married her. But still my soul walked alone.
Then you met me?
Then I met you.
Too late. Never, forever, forever, never. They are the saddest words in the English tongue.
At the time, I thought a still sadder word was Joanna. Mm. But there's a little poem I repeated to myself, and still do.
What is it?
It is in two words. Mabel Purdy. Oh. Say it, Mabel. Say it.
I'll whisper it.
You bird! That's all you know!
One.
Yes, that's the tree I stuck my easel under last night. And behold, the blessed moon behaving more gorgeously than ever. Sorry to have kept you waiting, old lady. But you ought to know by now how time passes. Now, keep still while I hand you down to posterity.
She's rather pale tonight, isn't she?
It comes of keeping late hours.
Daddy, watch me. Look at me. Please. Please, a sweet moon. A pleasant expression. No, not as if you were sitting for it. That's too professional. Ah, that's better. Thank you. Now keep it. That's the sort of thing you say to them, Dad.
You're a monkey. Moonlight's bad for little daughters.
I can't sleep when the moon's at the full. She keeps calling to me to get up. Perhaps I'm her daughter, too.
Dad, you look it tonight.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy, it's all so lovely. Hold me tight, Daddy. I'm frightened. Mm. I think they want to take you away from me.
Why, Gosling?
I don't know. Oh, it's all too lovely.
What is?
The world. Everything. And you, Daddy, most of all. Things that are too beautiful can't last.
Now, how did you find that out?
I don't know. From something in me that's afraid. Daddy, what is a might have been?
A might have been? They're ghosts, Margaret. I dare say I might have been a great swell of a painter instead of this uncommonly happy nobody. Or again, I might have been a worthless, idle, waster of a fellow.
You?
Well, who knows? Some little kink in me might have set me off on the wrong road, and that poor soul I might so easily have been might have had no Margaret. I'm sorry for him.
Oh, and so am I. The poor old daddy wandering about the world without me. Wouldn't it be awful? I think men need daughters.
They do.
Especially artists.
Especially artists.
Especially artists.
Especially artists.
Fame is not everything.
Fame is rot. Daughters are the thing.
Daughters are the thing.
Daughters are the thing.
I wonder if sons would be even nicer.
Oh, not a patch on daughters. The awful thing about a son is that never, never, at least from the day he goes to school, can you tell him that you rather like him. By the time he's 10, you can't even take him on your knee. Sons are not worth having, Margaret. Signed, W. Dearth.
But if you were a mother, Dad, I dare say he'd let you do it.
You think so?
I mean, when no one was looking. Sons are not so bad. Signed, M. Dearth. But I'm glad you prefer daughters. Daddy, what age are we nicest?
What?
What age are we nicest?
Well, now... Now, that's a poser. I think you were nicest when you were 2 and knew your alphabet up to G but fell over at H. No, you were best when you were 3:30 or just before you struck 6. Or in the mumps year when I asked you in the early morning how you were and you said solemnly,
I haven't tried yet.
I'm not sure that chicken pox doesn't beat mumps. Oh, Lord, I'm all wrong. The nicest time in a father's life is now.
Still, you think I'm pretty, don't you, Daddy? Whatever other people say.
Not so bad.
Well, I know I have nice ears.
Well, they're all right now, but I had to work on them for months.
You don't mean to say you did my ears?
Rather.
My dimple's my own, isn't it?
I'm glad you think so. I wore out the point of my little finger over that dimple.
Even my dimple? Haven't I anything that's really mine? A bit of my nose or anything?
When you were a babe, you had a laugh that was all your own.
Haven't I now?
It's gone. I'll tell you how it went. We were fishing in a stream. That's to say, I was wading and you were sitting on my shoulders doing the fishing. We didn't catch anything. Somehow or other, I can't think how I did it. You irritated me and I answered you sharply.
I can't believe that.
Yes, I did. It gave you a shock, and for a moment the world no longer seemed a safe place to you, and a frightened tear came to your eyes. I was in a nice state, I can tell you.
But what has that to do with my laugh, Daddy?
The laugh that children are born with lasts just so long as they have perfect faith. To think it was I who robbed you of yours.
Oh, how you do love me, Daddy.
Yes, I do, rather.
And I you. Oh, good evening.
Good evening, Missy. Evening, Mister.
You lost anything?
Sometimes when the tourists have had the sandwiches with bits left over and they squeeze them between the roots to keep the place tidy. I'm looking for bits.
You don't tell me you're as hungry as all that.
Try me.
Daddy, we've eaten all our sandwiches.
We must think of something else.
Oh, you poor woman.
If I had my rights, I'd be as good as you and better.
I dare say.
I've had men servants and a motor.
Well, Margaret and I never rose to that.
Well, I've been in a taxi several times and Dad often gets telegrams.
Margaret.
I'm sorry, I boasted.
That's nothing. I have a townhouse. At least I had. At any rate, he said there was a townhouse.
Well, fancy he's not knowing for certain.
The Honourable Mrs. Finch Fallow, that's who I am.
Oh, it's a lovely name.
Curse him.
Don't you like him?
I wish we had some food for you.
You haven't a flask.
No, I don't take anything myself. But let me see.
I know! You said we had £5. Would you like £5?
Now, darling, don't be stupid. We haven't paid our bill at the inn.
All right, I never asked you for anything.
Now, don't take me up in that way. I've had my ups and downs, too. Here's 10 bob. And welcome.
And I have 0.5 crown. Well, it's quite easy for us. Dad will be getting another 5 any day. You can't think how exciting it is when the 5 comes in. We dance, and then we run out and buy chops.
Margaret.
It's kind of you. I'm richer this minute than I've been for many a day.
It's nothing. I'm sure you'd do the same for us.
I wish I was as sure.
Well, of course you would. Glad to be of any help. You get some food as quick as you can. Best of wishes and may your luck change.
Same to you and may yours go on.
Good night.
What's her name, mister?
Margaret.
Margaret. You drew something good out of the lucky bag when you got her, mister.
Yes.
Take care of her. They're easily lost.
Poor soul. I guess she's had a rough time and that some man is to blame for it. Partly, at any rate. That woman rather affects me, Margaret. I don't know why.
I didn't like her saying that about your losing me.
I'll not lose you.
It would be hard for me if you lost me, but it would be worse for my daddy. I don't know how I know that, but I do. What would you do without me?
Don't talk like that.
Let's get out of the woods. It frightens me.
And you loved it a moment ago. Hello. I hadn't noticed there was a house there.
Nor I. I feel sure there wasn't a house there.
Oh, goose. It's just that we didn't look. Our old way of letting the world go hang. So interested in ourselves. Nice behavior for people who have been boasting about what they would do for other people. That gives me an idea.
Let's get out of the wood.
Yes, but my idea first. It is to rouse these people and get food from them for our friend.
She's too far away now.
Well, I can overtake her in a jiffy.
Don't go into that house, Daddy. I'm afraid of it. I don't know why, but I'm afraid of that house.
Oh, nonsense. There. There's a kiss to wipe away such silliness and another one for luck. I shall be back before you can count 100.
Oh, près de ma blonde.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 19, 20. Daddy. Daddy, come back. Come back. Please come back. Daddy, please! I don't want to be a might have been. Daddy, come back.
There doesn't seem to be anyone here.
Yet the window's wide open and the light's on.
Hello? Anyone here?
Oh, there's a little old man. I didn't see him in that huge chair.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me.
Is he alive?
Oh, yes, but it's no good. I can't wake him.
Well, there have evidently been other people here, but they haven't drunk their coffee. Oh, cold as a deserted egg in a bird's nest. Jack, if you were a clever detective, you could construct those people out of their deserted coffee cup. I wonder who they are and what has spirited them away.
What does it matter? There's just one cup I want to drink, and its name is Mabel.
Dear, I suppose we have run away, Jack.
Irrevocably. Mabel, if the dog-like devotion of a lifetime...
Oh.
Oh. Joanna, you know, this is just a little too thick.
So, sweet husband, your soul is still walking alone, is it?
Joanna, how can you sneak about in this way? Have you no pride?
You need to address me as Mrs. Purdy, madam. You were saying something about the devotion of a lifetime, Jack. Please go on.
I don't like to before you, Joanna.
Oh, don't mind me.
I should certainly like to say it.
And I shall be proud to hear it.
If the dog-like devotion of a lifetime... I'm feeling very funny.
So am I. I think I've been in this room before.
There's something coming rushing back to me.
I can't remember this man's name, but I'm sure it begins with L. Lob.
Lob. Let me think.
Oh,
the wood.
Lord, I remember it all. We were here. We did go.
So we did. But how could... Where was...
What was...
Don't let go. If the dog-like devotion of a lifetime... Which of you was I saying that to?
To me.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm not quite sure.
Joanna, what do you think? Oh, good heavens. Which of you is my wife?
I am. No, I'm not.
What?
It's Mabel who's your wife.
Me?
How can it be? I was running away with you.
You needn't do it now.
Why have I been making all this fuss? I say, I believe I'm not a deeply passionate chap at all. I believe I'm just a philanderer.
It's what you are. You made love to me in the wood because you thought I wasn't your wife.
Mabel, what about ourselves? I believe you and I are both cats.
Speak for yourself, Joanna.
Just a philanderer. And if people don't change, I suppose we'll begin all over again.
Huh? I dare say, but not with each other. I may philander again, but not with you.
Oh, John Purdy, John Purdy. Barrister at law. Oh, forgive me, Joanna. No, Mabel, I'm mixed up still.
I could forgive anybody anything tonight. It's so lovely not to be married to you, Jack.
I do feel small.
You'll soon swell up again.
Oh, no, no. No, there'll never be another woman. I swear it by all...
Ease off again.
Oh, Lord, so I am. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. Mabel, try to help me. If you catch me at it again, have the goodness to whisper to me in passing... Lobs would. That may cure me for the time being.
Perhaps I will. As long as I care to bother, Jack. It depends on you how long that is to be.
Here, here.
That's true.
Listen.
There's someone on the stairs.
Oh, so you're back at last. Oh, nice house, I must say. Where's Cody?
What? Did he go into the wood, too?
Well, he must have, and without his muffler, too. I've been down several times to look for him.
Oh, how dreadful.
What is dreadful, Joanna?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering what he's doing.
Doing? What should he be doing? Did anything odd happen to you in the wood?
No. He just strolled about and came back. Have you noticed Lob here?
Oh, yes, he's been like that all the time. A sort of stupor, I think. And sometimes the strangest grin comes over his face.
Grin?
Just as if he was seeing amusing things in his sleep.
And I dare say he is. Oughtn't we to get Matey to him?
Well, Matey's gone too.
What?
Into the wood. Well, I suppose so. He's not in the house.
Matey, I wonder who's with him.
Must somebody be with him?
Oh, no, not at all.
Pardon me.
Oh, do come in.
With apologies, ladies and gents.
Anything we can do for you? Just give it a name.
I hope you're not alone. Do you, say, have some lady friend with you?
My wife is with me.
His wife? You have been quick.
I didn't know you were married.
Won't you bring your wife in? We're simply dying to make her acquaintance.
You're very good. I'm much obliged.
Hell. Who can she be?
Who?
May I present my wife, Lady Caroline Matey.
How do you do, Lady Caroline?
It is Caroline Matey. You.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Very pleased to meet any wife of Mr. Matey.
Allow me. The Duchess of Candelabra, the ladies Helena and Matilda McNab. I am Mr. Justice Purdy.
How do you do?
Your friend by the fire?
I'll introduce you to him when you wake up. I mean, when he wakes up.
Perhaps I ought to have said that I am James Matey.
The James Matey.
A name not perhaps unknown in the world of finance.
Finance? Oh, so you did take that clerkship in the city.
Well, I began as a clerk in the city, certainly. Oh. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Fancy that now. Did it save you?
Save me, madam?
Excuse us. We ask odd questions in this house. We only mean, did that keep you honest? Or are you still a pilferer?
Husband mine? What does she mean?
No offence. I mean a pilferer on a large scale.
Well, if you're referring to that Labrador business or the Working Women's Bank...
Oh, we've got him.
Yes, those are what I meant.
There was nothing proved.
Mabel, Jack, here's another of us. You've gone just the same way again, my friend.
There's more in it, you see, than taking the wrong turning. You would always take the wrong turn.
If you are casting aspersions on my husband, allow me to say that a prouder wife than I does not today exist.
My dear, do be careful.
Whatever are you doing, Jim?
I don't understand it, Caroline. But somehow I feel at home with this coffee tray in my hand.
Caroline. Look at me. Well, don't you remember me?
I don't remember you. But I seem to associate you with hard-boiled eggs. You like your eggs hard-boiled.
Hold on to hard-boiled eggs. She used to tip you, especially to see to them.
Tip? James?
Tip. It seems to set me thinking.
Why is my work basket in this house?
You are living here, you know.
Well, it's what a person feels.
He's coming too with a wash.
Oh.
Mr. Purdy.
Mrs. Keld.
The governor.
You didn't really take that clerkship, Jim. You went into domestic service. But in the essentials, you haven't altered.
I'll have my shaving water at 7:30 sharp, matey.
Very good, sir.
Sir? You? Midsummer Eve. The wood?
Yes, hold on to the wood.
You are Lady Caroline Laney.
It's matey. The butler.
You seemed quite happy with him, you know, Lady Caroline.
We won't tell.
Caroline! Matey! And I seem to like it. How horrible!
Well, it's rather difficult to see what we should do next.
Coffee, milady?
No!
Perhaps if I were to go downstairs...
It would be conferring a personal favour on us all.
Yes, sir.
It's all this witch is doing.
No good. You won't wake him.
It's Cody.
Cody?
Why is he so happy?
Dear, take my hand.
Won't he know me?
Oh, dear, I wish Cody hadn't gone out.
We that have been happily married these 30 years.
May I intrude? My name is Code. The fact is, I was playing about in the wood on a whistle, and I saw your light.
Playing about in the wood with a whistle? You?
And why not, madam?
Madam? Don't you know me?
I don't know you, but I wish I did.
Do you? Why?
If I may say so, you have a very soft, lovable face.
Who was with you playing whistles in the wood?
No one was with me.
No lady?
Oh, certainly not. I'm a bachelor.
A bachelor?
Don't give way, dear. It might be much worse.
And you're sure you never spoke to me before? Do you think?
Never. Except in dreams.
What did you say to her in dreams?
I said, my dear. Odd.
How could you say such things to an old woman?
Old? I didn't think of you as old. No, young. With the morning dew on your face, coming across the lawn in a black and green silk dress, and such a pretty parasol.
That was how he first met me. He used to love me in black and green, and it was a pretty parasol.
Emma.
He hasn't forgotten my name.
It's sad that we didn't meet long ago. I suppose we have met too late. You couldn't overlook my being an old fellow, could you? No.
What is it exactly that he wants, Mr. Code?
I want to have the right to hold the parasol over you. Won't you be my wife, my dear, and so give my long dream of you a happy ending?
Kisses are not called for at our age, Cody. But here's a muffler for your old neck.
Thank you, dear. I've missed it. What? How is this?
He's coming too.
Lob!
You've got it, old man.
Bless me, Cody. I went into that wood.
And without your muffler. What are you feeling for?
The whistle.
Oh.
It's gone, of course it is. It's rather a pity, but have I been saying awful things to you?
You have been making her so proud. You had a second chance, and it's her again.
But of course it would be. But I see that I was just the same nice, old, lazy Cody as before, and I had thought that if I had a second chance, I could do things.
That needn't make you feel lonely in this house.
Oh, please forgive such an unceremonious entry. I usually enter a house by the front door.
I've heard that is the swagger way.
So awkward. I gave my sandwiches to a poor girl and her father I met in the wood, and now... Such a nuisance. I'm quite hungry myself. I wonder... Oh, that cake. May I?
Oh, the thing.
Won't you tell us your name?
Of course. I'm the Honourable Mrs. Finch Fallow.
We're anxious to know if you met a friend of ours in the wood. Mr. Durst. Perhaps you know him, too.
Durst? I don't know any Durst.
Oh, dear, what a wood.
Perhaps he has painted your portrait. He is an artist.
Oh, very likely. I dare say that is the man I gave my sandwiches to.
But I thought you said he had a daughter.
Oh, such a pretty girl. I gave her half a crown.
A daughter? That can't be Death.
Don't be too sure. A rather melancholy, gone to seed sort of man?
No, I thought him such a jolly, attractive man.
Death, jolly attractive? Oh, no. Did he say anything about his wife?
Do try to remember if he mentioned her.
No, he didn't.
He was far from jolly in her time.
Perhaps that was the lady's fault.
Oh, I'm sorry to bounce in on you this way, but really, I have an excuse. My daughter and I have just met in the wood a poor, wretched woman famishing for want of food. We were as happy as grigs ourselves, and the sight of her distress rather cut us up. Can you give me something for her? Anything?
You...
No, I can't be mistaken. It was you I met in the wood. Have you been playing some trick on me? It was for her I wanted the food.
Are you going to take back the money you gave me?
Your dress. You were almost in rags when I saw you outside.
My dress? I don't understand.
Well, for that matter, Death, I dare say that you were different in the wood, too.
What? What? Am I crazy?
Where am I? I seem to know you.
Yes, you do. Now, hold my hand, and you'll soon remember all about it.
I'm afraid, Mr. Durth, it's harder for you than the rest of us.
We're awfully sorry. But don't you remember Midsummer Eve?
Midsummer Eve? This room? Yes, this room. You? Was it you? We're going out to look for something. The Tree of Knowledge, wasn't it? Somebody wanted me to go, too. Who was it? A lady, I think.
Something about a second chance.
A lady who didn't like me. She had good reason to. But what were they...
Lob,
it's coming back.
What did he do?
I'm not the man I thought myself.
I'm not Mrs. Finchfellow. Who am I?
You were that lady.
It's you. My husband.
Alice.
My dear, you're much better off, as far as I can see, than if you were Mrs. Finch Fallon.
Yes, indeed.
Alice, I didn't know you when I was in the ward with Margaret. She... Margaret. Oh, my God.
Oh. Will... Don't. I wish.
Lob. You old ruffian.
No. I'm rather fond of him. Our
lonely, friendly little host. Lob, I thank thee for that hour. Alice?
If one could only change.
Who knows? Perhaps the brave ones can. You know, I feel sorry for her, as well as for him.
I dare say there's nothing the matter with her, except that she would always choose the wrong man. Good man or bad, but the wrong man for her.
Breakfast is quite ready, ladies and gentlemen.
My watch has stopped.
And mine.
Just as well, perhaps.
You know, now that I think of it, I feel quite
peckish. A strange experience, matey.
Yes, miss.
Does it ever have any permanent effect?
Not often, miss, but once in a while. If you want to know whether it will have any on you, he could show you if he liked.
Catch me risking it. But I should like to know about the Dearths. Breakfast!
After you, miss.
And so, to next Midsummer Eve.
In Dear Brutus by J.M. Barrie, Bernard Hepton was Dearth, Frances Jeter, Mrs. Dearth, and Jenny Quayle, Margaret. Lob was Geoffrey Siegel, Matey, Stephen Thorne, Lady Caroline, Brenda Kay, Purdy, Geoffrey Beavers, Mrs. Purdy, Carol Boyd, and Joanna, Jane Knowles. Mr. and Mrs. Code were played by Anthony Newlands and Catherine Parr. The sound balance was by Keith Perrin. Dear Brutus was a BBC World Service drama production, adapted for radio by Geoffrey Siegel and directed by Gordon House.